This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Packers get knocked off by the San Francisco 49ers. They just got beat up physically. To talk more about it from Pro Football Weekly, our good buddy Hub Arkish. Hub, how you been?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. I mean, obviously, as a Packers fan, you wish they were going down to Miami, but I got to tell you, I should have paid more attention to the second half of the first matchup between these two teams when San Francisco just kind of imposed their will. And you got buying into the Brian Bulaga injury and the fumble and all that kind of stuff and thought, well, maybe the narrative will change, but it just didn't. It didn't stand a chance. They got beat up, and now they got to move on. So give me your assessment of the Packers and this season.
Well, I think it was a very good season, you know, considering 2 years out of the playoffs, first year under Matt LaFleur, to come back and win 14 games is, you know, awfully impressive. There were times when they caught a few more breaks than other teams did. They were remarkably healthy all year long. The Detroit game on Monday night kind of sticks out because they probably should have gotten beaten there. Don't know what would have happened if not for the spot for Jimmy Graham divisional playoff game, but that's kind of nitpicking. At the end of the day, 12, 13, 14 wins, really impressive. That said, did they fit with the top teams, like the 49ers, like the Chiefs, like the Ravens? Not so sure they did. They probably belong a tier below. The offense was different. We knew it was going to be with Matt LaFleur. Certainly the running game, I think, was what he hoped it would be. The passing game, and I know the great debate, how much of it is on Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But at the end of the day, they just weren't good enough or at least consistent enough at receiver for the passing game to be a top-flight passing game in comparison to some of the other best around the league. And defensively, they got two outstanding pass rushers and a great nose tackle, but the back eight, if you will, they really do need to work on.
Covering the league for a long time, seeing them against the Bears numerous times, give me your assessment. Everybody's talking about Aaron Rodgers, and as much as I want to say, okay, it's easy to say he's getting older, he's getting over the hill, whatever you want to call it, I also think that he had Davante Adams, he had a run game, but he really didn't have receivers that were dynamic other than Davante. Do you think you add a receiver or two to this mix, or maybe a tight end to this mix, that suddenly we see, I'm not talking about 2011 Aaron Rodgers, but we see a different Aaron Rodgers next season?
Well, I mean, I think he'll definitely be more productive and his numbers will be better if he gets help at receiver, probably a tight end too. You know, Jimmy Graham wasn't bad the last quarter of the season. He seemed to play his best football as the season went on, but he's not the guy that he once was, and they knew that when they signed him as a free agent. I think they hope more from the rookie, Jay Sternberger, and maybe there will be more. You know, that remains to be seen. Mercedes Lewis is kind of a guy at this point. And then you get back to the wide receivers. Alan Lazard began to emerge as that number two wide receiver, but, you know, now you get into the reasons that he was an undrafted rookie free agent, and that gets back to speed and separation. I think he's a really good football player, and I think as a three or a four, he can be a valuable weapon, but I don't think he's a two. Marquez Valdes-Scantling is kind of a one-trick pony. He's got that amazing speed. You know, he's great on the deep ball, but he doesn't run all the routes and isn't consistent shorter and over the middle. Geronimo Allison has been threatening to arrive for a few years. So, yeah, you can keep going. Jay Kumerow, none of these guys really projects as a legitimate number two based on their body of work. So I think they need at least one more top-end receiver to pair with Davante Adams. And then these other guys also all become more dangerous. And so they may be just the one wide receiver away in the passing game. They're certainly good enough at running back. I also think strongly, though, Bill, that they got to get better on the interior of the offensive line. I know they added a piece or two this year, but they continue to be kind of middling there, and that's why these great pass rushers can get after Rodgers pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, one of the other concerns for me, obviously Brian Bulaga's up the end of his contract, their right tackle. Do you give him a front-loaded deal that if he doesn't perform well, you can cut him loose after next year? Because you got to have somebody. You can't just say, well, we're going to go ahead and let him go and not have anybody else to protect Aaron Rodgers. It all starts up front in the trenches. What I thought was very telling. I was listening to your station this morning out of Chicago, and Mike Florio brought up something I thought was really, really good, where he said, look, what the 49ers do is reintroduce physicality to football. They got a bunch of guys that are not only bigger, stronger, faster, but they're just nasty. They're football players. And I think we're seeing kind of the sway go back in that direction to hitters and guys that like to be physical up front. And in some cases, they just out-physicaled teams. And I understand that. To me, I'd rather see some more football players than these bigger, stronger, faster combine guys that come into this system. I just don't know where you can go find them to fortify the needs that you have so you can keep that window open for Aaron Rodgers, which we all believe to be 2 to 3 years.
Well, you know, Bill, listen, I think the 49ers have done a really good job building that football team, but I don't know that I give them any credit for physicality. Certainly, I give them credit for understanding when the run game works, you stay with it. Kyle Shanahan has done an outstanding job, building that run game. But look at who they're doing it with. I mean, Laken Tomlinson was an overdrafted first-round pick of the Lions, who was a cast-off, who they traded for. Garland, nobody really wanted. Raheem Mostert had been with four teams before he got there. Matt Breed is a backup. Tevin Coleman, is probably a number two running back. So I think it's just that right now he's got that scheme working, Shanahan. And when you talk about Staley and on one side, McClinchy on the other, that's pretty impressive. And that's the way they're playing the game. There will be a counterpoint to that. You know, now that teams have seen it, it's not going to happen next week in the Super Bowl. But you'll see new defensive schemes to take that on, whether it's a 6-1 or playing more goal line type sets, between the 20s. So I don't know that it's trend so much as it gets back to just having good football players.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, with Bulaga, you got to re-sign him. Now, what the contract looks like, that I don't know. But based on where you're at with the offensive line, I don't know how you could afford to let Bulaga get away.
Talking about the physicality aspect of it, maybe more the trenches is what I'm looking at more than anything. I think the Packers have a decent secondary when it comes to their defensive side. I think the linebacking position, as much as I like Blake Martinez as far as solid, but if you call a guy that's a linebacker solid, a lot of times that's like calling a quarterback a game manager. There's nothing dynamic there. It's just that they make tackles. They don't get burned too often, but they're really not busting things up and making plays. But it all starts up front. If you can keep big bodies up front and keep guys off of your middle linebacking core, you have a much better shot at being very good.
Well, yeah, and this is where, again, I think Kenny Clark may be the best nose tackle in football, but Dean Lowry, as much as I love the kid, a local kid down here out of Northwestern, he's a bit of an undersized five technique, and so we look at the Smith brothers and the job they do rushing the passer, but where do you put them in this defense? They're really your outside linebackers. I think Preston Smith is a complete football player and an excellent all-around linebacker. I think Za'Darius Smith is more of a pure pass rusher, and so I think that kind of hurts in the run as well. But at the end of the day, you got to come back in the middle, and you're right. I mean, Blake Martinez is a tackling machine, but how many tackles does he make at the line of scrimmage or in the backfield? He's a great rundown tackler. And also, in the secondary, I think Jerry Alexander is one of the better young corners in football. I had high hopes for Darnell Savage, and I still do. I think he was an excellent pick where they got him and can be an in-the-box type safety. I've been trying to tell you guys, and nobody really wants to listen to it, but Adrian Amos is a guy, mm-hmm. and that's what you got back there. So when it comes to defending the run, they still need to beef up the middle behind Kenny Clark. And if they can do that, and now if we're talking physicality there, you're absolutely right.
Going into the Super Bowl, who do you give an edge to?
It's funny, though. I don't even know who's favored. I was thinking about it Sunday night before I saw any numbers, and I couldn't decide who I would favor.
Right.
It's a fascinating matchup. I love the game. I think we got the game that everybody should want. And I understand Packer fans didn't want it and Ravens fans didn't want it. But this is the best matchup in terms of, the fun we're going to have trying to figure it out and then seeing it actually play out on the field. I probably will give an edge to the 49ers and probably will take them because I don't believe the game has ever changed. I believe the defense and running the football will always win championships. And we've seen where the Chiefs get into trouble. It's kind of like the same thing with the Ravens. They don't have as much issues because they have more weapons. But if they fall behind, You know, yeah, they can score quickly, but against a really good defense, the number one pass defense in the NFL, they could struggle a little bit. Now, that said, you know, if I had to pick one today, I would certainly take Patrick Mahomes over Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, Raheem Mostert, I don't know what you say about the guy. He's a journeyman who's having a career year. Neither team is overly impressive at running back. You know, obviously, Shady McCoy has done, or Andy Reid wouldn't deactivate him in an AFC title game. And then, you know, you get to the receivers and you got a huge advantage to the Chiefs. You get to the offensive line, you got an advantage. I don't know if I'd call it huge to the 49ers. Defensively, though, nobody can deal with that 49er front. And so there'll be a lot of different ways to break this down. A lot of people will be looking for Mahomes to be Superman or Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. But it looks to me, at least now, like the 49ers are the more complete team. But I think it's going to be a heck of a football game.
Yeah, I do too. Hub, always a pleasure. You can be down in Miami?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't positive. So I thought I'd just check first before I said I'll see you down there. But we'll see you down there, okay?
All right, Bill, take care.
All right, buddy, talk to you later. There you go. That's our buddy Hub Arkus joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.